Welcome to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner, brought to you by His Will Ministry. Our aim is to encourage you in the Word of God, to bring pastors anointed teaching, and to show you the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, and to hope in His Word, to draw nearer to Him. You can contact us further at hiswillministry.org, or you can email us at info@hiswillministry.org. Here's Pastor Warner.
You want the manifestations, the full manifestations of the gift in this church? You have to seek holiness. You have to approach holiness. You have to reach that point. Yeah, God allows things. Just like last week, healing my wife's arm. No, I have not reached that point of holiness where I have all the manifestations. But God had to teach me a lesson and had to make me humble and help me gain that holiness. So He allowed the power to flow through me to heal a broken arm. But the people that have had it, just like Smith Wigglesworth and the other ones, Billy Sunday, the other great ministers, the ones that had it said one thing. They have all the gifts. And everybody says, well, you don't get all of them. They said, we have all of them. But they only happen when God wants them to be used for His glory. Now get that. Say, the Bible says, oh, this one will get this one will get that, this one will have this one will have that. But we've seen in our time men of God, and we've seen in the old times with Paul, Peter, okay, men of God that had everything. But they were only manifested when they glorified God. Look at Paul. Paul was wandering along and had a woman coming up behind him constantly saying what? You know, I think I'd like that. Now I might get on my nerves, but I think I'd like having somebody just follow me saying, this is a man of God from the Most High. Listen to His words. You know, I got a feeling I still got enough of an ego. I'd like that. Sadly enough, I hate to say that. And I think Paul liked it too, because how many days did it go on before Paul finally turned around, and at that moment, God gave him that gift. He turned around and said, out of her, in the name of Jesus Christ, and the Spirit came out just like that. See, Paul had that power, but until it was time to use it for the glorification of Jesus, it didn't manifest. But when it was time, he turned around and bam, out like that. See, that's what holiness is about. Let's look at Ephesians. I want to go on for a few more definitions of holiness. And then I want to show you a promise. Let's look at Ephesians 1:4. 1:4. I'm going to try to run through these real quick because we're getting pretty late. But if I just keep going, then if you have to leave, be that way, and I will send you a tape of whatever God led me to say. Ephesians 1:4. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons. Now, you have the right of free will. You have the right to walk anywhere you want. But do you get what this is saying to you? Before you were born and beyond, before the foundation of the world, you were chosen. God has a plan for you. And He wants you to be what? Holy and without blame before Him. Think about it. I mean, just think that before time began, you were chosen. You were picked. Let's look at 1 Peter 2:5. First Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up to a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable and good through Jesus Christ. See what he means here? You don't get holy instantly. You don't become holy instantly. He's saying, as living stones, you are being built up. A spiritual house, a holy priesthood. So you can't get holy overnight. You can't get holy instantly. It requires some effort. It requires you wanting it. It requires studying God's Word. It requires you to be on your face praying. It requires you to be in church so that you can pray or you can listen to the pastor. It requires some things. It's a growth process. From the minute you become a Christian, holiness doesn't happen the minute you believe. He says you're being built up. Let's look at it back in Ephesians chapter 2. So I'm going to jump you guys all over the place today. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and Jesus Christ Himself as the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fit together grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also being built together for the dwelling place of the Spirit of God. Did you get the couple of keys right here, what he's saying? He says that we are being built. Our holiness is being built. But he also says we are being fit together. Scott is being fit together with Ray. Each one of us is being put together as a holy temple. See, that's why Jesus said the body of Christ. That's why he said each one of you is like an arm or a leg. We're a viable part. You know, when one of you guys isn't here, you're missed. Like on a holiday like this, there's quite a few that aren't here today. They're missed. And the reason they're missed is because God is trying to build you together as a holy temple. He's trying to build this body together in holiness for a purpose that He has. And if you can't be here, He can't do it. You ever wondered why this church keeps going? God has a vision for it. And some of you have caught it and some of you haven't, but God has a vision for this building. And I know at least two people in this church right now that have that vision. And I'm not counting myself. But that's the reason it's still here. God had this church body created, put together, and He has held it together all these years because He had a vision for it. And He wants that vision to be completed. But it can't be completed if there isn't the holy temple being built. You guys need to be there. And no, I'm not preaching that you need to be dedicated to this building. You need to be dedicated to the vision Jesus has given. This valley is ripe. It is a field ready for picking and seeding and watering. But until this body is ready for it, no matter how much seeding and watering and picking goes on out there, they're going to walk in the door and walk back out. You guys got to be ready for it. Even if you don't have a pastor, somebody walks in this building and feels the presence of the Holy Ghost, they're going to be trapped. They ain't leaving. That Holy Spirit will grab onto their necks and bring them in, and they'll be part of you. Whether I'm up here preaching or somebody else. The pastor can't do it all himself. A lot of times we stick it on his back and we say, well, we don't have this pastor, or our pastor is just kind of... And trust me, I've been in a few churches. They've got a pastor, and their pastor... He has no spirit. He can get up there and give you 3 points in a poem. His wife can lead songs. And you will not feel the spirit in that church no matter what. It's dead. People walk in the door, they're going to feel the death march. Turn around, walk out. It's up to you guys. I can lead. I can inspire. I can pray for you and uplift. But you got to go along. Look at the woman. What did she do? The woman that had the issue of blood. She was so desperate. What did she do? She crawled through the crowd. Now, come on. You read the Bible. How many people had to be around Jesus? Everywhere He went. He was, you know, I just pictured Jesus just so... One of the reasons He went up to the mountains in the middle of the night to pray was so He could breathe. You know, yesterday. Friday. Today's Saturday. Friday. Woo! Friday at Walmart. They opened up at 5 a.m. People were fighting over toys and carts. Now that's Walmart, and that's toys. Think what the crowds had to have been like. The people just wanting near Jesus to be healed. And you have a woman that's crawling on her belly and her knees through this crowd. You know how many times do you think her hands got stepped on before she got to Jesus? How many times did she get kicked in the side or bapped in the side of the head by somebody? And you have to remember, these are dirt streets covered with straw and cow and sheep manure. These aren't nice paved streets that are clean. This woman's crawling through cow dung to get to the pastor, to the preacher, to the man of God, to Jesus, so she can just grab on. And what happens when she grabs on? Healed instantly, isn't she? And she's so freaked out by it, instead of holding on, she disappears into the crowd. How many times do we do that? God shows up, we're so freaked out about it. It's like, whoa, no, not me. I don't want that. I don't want that Holy Ghost stuff. I don't want no speaking in tongues, God. I'm happy in my pew. Just show up once in a while, tell me I'm okay. She pulled away, didn't she? We pull away. But we have to want it that bad. We want that holiness that bad. We have to be willing to walk through, crawl through the cow dung if we have to. Or my favorite saying, be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. But you can't get that unless you're willing to obtain holiness. Let's keep on going. I got a few more scriptures here. Colossians 3. So you get me going here so much, I'll remember forget what the last scripture was. I got to keep my Bible open. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. And if, now get this, people, if anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. I have been in more churches that have been destroyed because somebody's feelings got hurt. We're supposed to look at Jesus. And if my feelings get hurt, I need to come to you and say, hey, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm going to tell you a quick story of a pastor. He was a youth pastor. And there was a member of the church, which was another man on the pastorship, that didn't like him and went out of his way to undermine him. And he just had a feeling that it was going to result, because of all the rumors that were about him, he was going to be dismissed by the church. And he'd been praying about it. God, this isn't right. This isn't right. What should I do? Should I confront this man? God kept saying no. God kept saying no. Don't confront him. Finally, it came to the point where he got in his little hot hand. You know how we are? I got in my little hand evidence that proves he's evil. Yeah, I just show this to the senior pastor and boy, he's dead meat. Guess what God said? No. He said, let me handle it. What I want you to do is I want you to go to that man and I want you to tell him you're sorry. And I want you to make amends with him. He's like, but God, no! God drove him to his face, and for 45 minutes he argued back and forth with God. And at the end of the 45 minutes he took that and threw it in the trash. He walked into that man's office on the morning that he was going to be fired. Not the other man. He was going to be fired because of the other man. He walked into that man's office and he said to him, I want you to forgive me. Because I know you don't really like me and I know that some things have been going on, but I've held some bitterness against you. And I've said things to my family about you and I want you to forgive me. Well, you know what happened? That man broke down and confessed. And God has such a good sense of humor, it came out that that man was doing things that nobody knew about. And before it was all said and done, that man was fired. And that man was removed from the ministry. And the man that listened to God was elevated. See, he's saying here that if you want to be holy, you have to do all these things. And one of them is, if you're hurt by somebody in this building, go to them and love on them and let the Lord handle it. Don't hold that resentment, because you can't be holy and resent somebody. You can't be holy and be mad at somebody. You can't be holy and be fighting with somebody. Let's keep going. Let's look at Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Get you through these yet? Now, if anyone builds on the foundation of with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire and tested. The fire will test each one's work. If anyone's work has been built on that that endures, he will receive a work. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, so as yet the fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. This is talking about the end time death. It's talking about hell. You destroy the temple of God by not keeping it holy, and God will destroy you. Jesus said, "Fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill the body and cast the soul into hell." Let's go on, Romans 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 16. And after this one, we're going to drop into some promises. But I like this one. Romans chapter 11, verse 16. If I can ever get there. I got Romans chapter 16, verse 11. That doesn't do me any good. Ah, here we go. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. Now, who's the first fruit? We're told that Jesus rose on the third day from the grave to be the first fruit for our offering for our sins. So Paul says, if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. If the root is holy, the foundation, the branches are holy. We have to. We have to. We have to. Ye shall be holy, for I, your Lord God, is holy. We have no choice if we want to follow the Lord and have His power in our lives. You want to see this church grow? You want to see yourself grow spiritually? We have to follow the Lord. We have no choice. We have to attain holiness. He doesn't say you might be holy. He says you shall be. Let's look at a few promises here. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. This is a promise to those that are holy. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want you guys to understand something here. That a lot of these scriptures were given to me in my search to be holy as God was beating me over the head. You know, I'm preaching it myself just as much as I am you, because I want that holiness. I want to be a man of God that someday, the greatest honor I could ever have, well, God will say, that was a man after my own heart. That could be the greatest honor a man or a woman could ever have. But you won't have that unless you seek the holiness. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that the Lord... To the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works, all in it, will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the hasten of the coming of the day of the Lord, of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire and elements that melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth in which the righteous dwells. What did he say? What kind of people should we be? We should be holy in conduct and godliness, looking for the day of the Lord. Now let's see what he says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. And this is my last verse. I'll close on this one. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Blessed and holy are they who take part in the first resurrection. You know, a cappella has a little song about walking shoes. And it says, the gambler dies and gets called by God. And he says, no, God, I can't go. I don't have my walking shoes on. The prostitute dies and gets called by God. And she says, no, God, I don't have my walking shoes on. The Christian, he dies and gets called by God. And he says, come get me, God. I got my walking shoes on. I'm ready to go. Our walking shoes is our holiness. You want to be part of that book series, Left Behind? Ignore holiness. Because that's what it just said. Unless you prove me otherwise, that's what it says right here in Revelation. Blessed and holy are those who take part in the first resurrection. It doesn't say, blessed are those that take part. Jesus is very clear. Blessed and holy are those that take part in the first resurrection. Very clear. If you want to be part of the rapture, you want to be part of an on-fire church, you want to see this building so full it's overflowing, you want a pastor that's so on fire for God that you guys can't even take it because he's always trying to teach you things and take you further on, you need to attain that holiness. You need to seek it. Remember, first, pray for a praying heart. Second, pray for His will in your life every day. Third, pray that He makes you holy. And it will happen. And then you'll be able to pray that the power of God come upon you. And it won't just be some isolated thing that He honors you by allowing you to lay your hand on your wife and heal an arm. It'll be an everyday occurrence because you will walk in the holiness of God. And only you can do it. Yeah, right? But as you get holy, you don't have to worry about that. That's it. See, that's one of the things that God has shown me, that when we obtain the holiness He wants for us, nothing else will have a problem. We won't have a problem. You won't be like I was today, telling my wife that I was irritated at the diesel truck because it smelled bad when I started it this morning, or because I just didn't like it because it wouldn't warm up. Because when you get to that holiness, you'll be like Paul. You will be content in all things. You know, Paul tells us, and we always take that to mean Paul had these desperate struggles, but he tells us, in Romans chapter 7, he says, oh, what a wretched man I am. Who will help me get rid of this body of filth? And then he says that the Lord. But I don't know how many of you are familiar with some of the old Roman ways of killing people, getting rid of criminals. But I think what one of the things Paul was alluding to here is one of the things they used to do is they would take a criminal and they would bind a dead cadaver to him in such a way that he couldn't get it off. And he had to spend the remainder of his days with this dead body strapped to him. Now what happens in dead bodies? They rot. They bloat. They get diseases. Think about it. What a way to go. Just slowly waiting for the diseases that are generated in that rotting body to kill you. I don't know how many of you have ever been around death. But death, even when it just happens, smells. I used to work in a nursing home, and I can smell death. I'm so used to it, I can smell it before it happens. But death, after about 4 or 5 days, gets really rancid. Think about having that strapped to you. That rotting car. Nobody's going to have a thing to do with you, first off. But knowing in here that it's only a matter of time till that rotting carcass infects you. The slightest scratch on your finger, the slightest little mark, and you're dead. And you can't get that carcass off. That's what Paul's talking about, the sin that you got inside of you. It's the same thing. That's what sin does to you. You may wear it for a while, but eventually it starts to turn. It starts to go bad. And it starts to rot you. And before you know it, you've made that decision to walk away from Jesus. You know, Jesus said, those that turn back are like dogs returning to their vomit. Everybody forgets the second half of that verse. It says, swine fallowing, rolling in their mire. You know what the word there is? Dung. Jesus said, when we return to the past, we are like pigs rolling in their own doo-doo. And the word isn't even that polite, but I won't say it. But that's what Jesus was telling us. That's how gross it is to God. Holiness, people, it's the only thing that's going to get you where you want to go in the kingdom of God. Works won't do it. Faith won't do it. Like Paul said, faith without works is dead, and works without faith is dead. But what did Jesus say to those? He said, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? Didn't we do this? And you'll say, when did you feed this child? When did you do this? When did you do that? Well, you didn't do that, so go back to the one on earth. The wedding feast. All the people that were invited to the wedding feast, what happened? They were just too busy, and he picked all the people off of where? The streets. Except for one that snuck in, and he didn't have the wedding clothes. He didn't have holiness. And he was sent out into the darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Holiness. Seek it this week.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that he has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin, that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water, and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.